on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett. The Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Now, Brian Taylor once kicked 100 goals in a season for Collingwood. He once lamented, as a goal-kicking coach for an AFL club, he wasn't given enough time to work on player deficiencies. The sports science department would only allow a certain number of kicks in a week. The workload of the players were so closely monitored, there were fears of soft tissue injuries. Sav Rocca has been appointed as kicking coach for Levi Casbolt at Carlton. Let's hope not only in name and for publicity. I feel for Casbolt. He is a talent, a great mark, and should be the key forward that Carlton can rebuild around. But his kicking hasn't improved since his debut in 2012. Hard to believe in this day and age of professional footballers. My advice to the Blues, forget yoga, forget swimming, forget weight sessions, forget Pilates programs. Just give Sav Rocca all the time he needs. Casbolt will never kick like Brian Taylor or Matthew Lloyd. Just take him from being unreliable to reliable and the Blues might win some games. I'm KB. That's my take.
Zach Toohey puts it up inside the 50. Oh, big launch by Casbolt. That is a huge mark.
Drives it in long now. They're going to fly. Casbolt. He was third in line.
Casbolt. There's the kick from 50. And that is a shocking effort. It did not...
Plow back.
Right towards the teeth of goal. Mark taken. Casbolt.
He'll hook it around on the left. He's gone narrow. Through it behind.
Stick the post.
It was clearly a point.
Casbolt from 30 and closing. Casbolt kicks and misses. Two stickers.
He's a fantastic mark who can't kick.
It's not really handy when you're a forward.
No.
You can't kick.
Not a great ingredient.
Oh, gee whiz. The other side out of bounds with the ball. You've nailed him in one, Scotty.
9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433 98 1116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 or Hungry for Sport, who needs specialised training at your club in areas of their game? Because certainly I'm pleased to see Sav Rocca is down at Carlton. Let's hope it's not just in name. 9429 1116. You can always set the sporting agenda. Coming up, Patrick Smith is about to join us. Don't forget his famous gibberish of the week. You may have some early nominations yourself. Get something off your chest. It's always your forum to fire up. Steve Salisbury always joins us, the man from Sacramento. And Dr. Turf will be quirky and very antagonistic.
Turned on Carlton because of your passionate hate for them. You've just pulled the wrong rein here.
It's an easy get for him. You're right, Sam.
Oh.
It's lazy broadcasting.
Kevin, they're paid a fortune to wear this gear. Yep. Okay, so Nike would have loved it. In the context of that, it is not offensive and it is not sexist.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I sense from this morning that you're not a sports science man.
No, I'm not. I think sometimes, Pat, that in this game of Australian rules football, there's certain ingredients and things that are very, very important. And I actually do feel very sorry for Casbolt, and have for quite a while, because he is a fantastic mark, as brave as they come through the air.
Mm.
And he takes these amazing marks. Just imagine how good he would be for Carlton if he was able to go back and kick those goals. Imagine how good he'd feel in himself, how much better player he would be. I'm telling you, the moment he learns to kick straighter, he will become even a greater player for Carlton, because his confidence will be so high that he'll want to get his hands on the ball on every occasion, because he'll then believe he can kick a goal.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's right. If his confidence is up with his kicking, then he'd be such an improved player.
But we hear all the time, Patrick, you know, about yoga sessions and they're doing Pilates and there's swimming and there's recovery sessions. And the other day, Brenton Sanderson told the under-16 kids, get used to the fact you'll be on the track for 90 minutes and there'll be 250 minutes of meetings.
Mm.
And then there'll be recovery sessions. But you'll only be on the track for around about an average of 90 minutes. Well, that doesn't suit Levi Casbolt.
No.
Who cares if he can't touch his toes if he can kick straight? Who cares if his core strength's not as strong as the bloke standing next to him, if he can take big marks in the goal square and go back and kick goals? Who cares if he can't swim?
Seems to me that you can never do enough work on skills anyway, because Damien Hardwick on the weekend was lamenting the lack of skills. Other coaches, whenever they're beaten, lament the lack of skills under pressure. They weren't able to do this. They weren't able to stop them here. It's a balance that the clubs think they've got right, Kevin, and they would say that you've got it wrong, that if they didn't monitor how many kicks he was having, then they wouldn't have him at all.
That's rubbish. That's absolute rubbish, Pat. When I was playing, and if you go back in the old days, after training, all you did was stay out and you kicked as many balls as you possibly could. There was heavy grounds, all that sort of stuff, old footballs. You kick as many as you possibly could, Pat, until they turned off the sole light that was on the grandstand or the property steward guy had to go home. It didn't hurt us, Pat. I'm telling you now.
Did you start with it too?
Absolutely, you started with
cold
kick to kick.
From your job, from your office work.
You couldn't run the two laps fast enough so you could get in to kick the kick.
Yeah, I think they do a little bit more than run two laps now, Kevin.
I know that, Pat. But surely, I mean, fans when they watch on the weekend, say Carlton fans, wouldn't they be asking themselves the question, you know, why do we read about Pilates and doing all these swimming recovery sessions and standing around in Port Phillip Bay freezing to death, when in actual fact we need this guy to be standing 25 metres out from goal, kicking us a goal?
Yes. We're in danger of being called two grumpy old men, Kevin.
No, we're not.
We're not.
Sensible. Okay. Sensible. I don't mind being sensible, Pat.
Well, they've got to... Look, bottom line is they've got to improve his kicking if he's going to be... if they're going to realise his talent. That's what they've got to do. Now, they've got to find the best way to do that and do it.
Now
that's their priority, yes, with that boy.
I just hope that Sav Rocker is not just there in name.
Yeah.
And he's just there at the moment too. It looks good. No, just not in name and for publicity. Because another kicking coach has said to a friend of mine recently that he's got the same problem that Brian Taylor was experiencing. Can't believe... You know, and you have forward line coaches and that in charge of these guys. They see sometimes these kicking coaches as a bit of a threat.
Yes.
You know, because, hang on, I'm the forward line coach and this bloke comes in. Well, you can't have these guys because I'm doing forward line stuff over here. We're doing tactics and reviewing. So I would think, Pat, that if you're a forward and you can mark like Casbolt and you can't kick, the number one priority for that club would be his kicking. Mm. Forget everything else. Doesn't matter if he misses a weight session. Who cares if he can't bench press 5,000 kilos? Who cares? Long as he can kick straight.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear from the fans.
Right. That's the priority. You've got to get that right first for him to realise his potential. Might be the best job in the world, Kevin. Football job, anyone, and that's a goal kicking coach.
Well, if
you're there for 4 minutes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you don't want to be there. Brian Taylor, I don't think even does it now because I would suggest he just got so disappointed with the fact that, you know, he felt he could improve people and yet
didn't have the time.
He couldn't have the time to do it. So I'd like to ask the fans: who else needs specialised training at your club? Maybe in all areas of the game. It might be in marking. It could be in kicking. Could be other aspects of the game, but particularly in kicking, because, you know, Casbolt can be important for Carlton. They're screaming out for talent down at Carlton. They've got talent. Are they putting enough time into that talent? I want to throw up another question to you, Pat.
Righto.
And then I'll take some calls. We're reading today about Rodney Eade. Caroline Wilson's got an article in the paper today saying he may have to reinvent the cold suns, that, you know, he's gone up there and he's been disappointed maybe with the way they train and attitude and all that sort of stuff. So he's bringing, you know, a new dimension to the game. They've got quite a few injuries at the moment as well. Gary Ablett, of course, is coming back from a bad injury and playing okay.
Nowhere near, right?
But nowhere near his standard. I want to throw this to you and I want to ask Geelong supporters this. He hasn't signed that contract yet that they keep talking about with the Gold Coast Suns. Now, this could be a year where Rodney Eade's going to try and get him heading in a different direction, and who knows? You know, it may not be the year that we thought from the Gold Coast Suns. Is this a time now for the Cats to pounce and get Gary Ablett back? He's How done everything up there, Pat. He's won the Brownlow. He's won about three Best and Fairest Awards.
He's definitely done the hard yards.
He's been the superstar. He's done the hard yards. Yep. He's been part of the AFL... You know, being an ambassador up there and bringing everyone into, you know, the Gold Coast Suns.
Yep.
But, you know, Geelong themselves now have got, you know, players getting... I know Gary Ablett's 30 at the moment.
Yeah, how many years, Kevin?
Gary Ablett can play another 5 years.
Another
5 years. He's
he
could play
contract.
Up forward. He could do it. He could do anything, Gary Ablett.
Okay.
So, at the moment, you know, they've got people like Stevie J saying he doesn't know whether he'll go on next year. You've got Corey Enright may not go on next year. You've got Kelly may not go on again next year. There's talk about Dangerfield coming to Geelong. I don't know whether Dangerfield is going to get to Geelong. There's some talk if Geelong don't play well, maybe Dangerfield might give him a miss. Adelaide, you know, plays well. But I'd like to ask Cats fans, you know, is it now time to pounce and get Gary Ablett back and get him back with Tommy Hawkins and Mitch Clark and Joel Selwood, get Ablett back there as well? Maybe if he can snare Dangerfield, well, That's the cream.
Well, I've got a slightly different view on that. I think that Gary Ablett's run his race at Gold Coast. He's in the sense that he was the superstar. He got all the attention and he won the games for them. The person I'd be, and I think the AFL would look at this, the person that needs, if Ablett goes to Geelong, the person who needs to replace him is Dangerfield at Gold Coast. They need to, the AFL.
He's 25 years of age, Dangerfield.
Yes, absolutely. He's perfect. Football in Queensland's really on the nose. Brisbane are struggling, and we're discussing Gold Coast problems now. They need another injection, Kevin. They need another injection of hype. And Carmichael Hunt and those types of players couldn't produce it in
how could they afford Dangerfield? I know Ablett leaving would leave obviously $1 million in their cap.
He goes there as an ambassador. He gets the AFL top it up to whatever they like as an ambassador.
So they could say, we'll give you $1.5 million to be an ambassador for the game on the Gold Coast, and now Gold Coast, you can fix up his contract.
Yeah, whatever. Something like that, Kevin. They've got a load of money, which they used on Carmichael, which they used on Folau as ambassadors, and there's no better ambassador, and there's no place that needs an ambassador more now than the Gold Coast. So why wouldn't the AFL look at doing that to boost Gold Coast? Gary goes back to Geelong, lovely story, returns to his old club, his dad's club, and they bring in Dangerfield as the big gun, the big publicity man, and a match winner himself.
Well, I don't think Gold Coast now can make the finals. The draw was set up for them to play a couple of bottom sides first, Melbourne and St Kilda, get a couple of early wins on the board. We saw them last year. They were in the finals for a long time until Ablett got injured. Now Ablett's carrying this shoulder. A lot of other problems seem to be, you know, cropping up at the Gold Coast Suns at the moment. This is a fantastic time, I reckon, because if they don't make the finals, I don't think Ablett wants to hang around up there if they're not playing finals. And maybe after his shoulder, you know, he might be thinking about coming home. And if I was Geelong, I'd be putting a lot of time and effort into Gary Ablett. Until he signs that paper up there, I reckon he's gettable.
Yep.
Well, gettable back to the Cats.
Of course he is, yeah.
And you're suggesting maybe AFL
they've got to get a replacement. They've got to get a replacement.
Strongly for someone like Dangerfield. Yep. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls. 9429 1116. 9:22. Patrick Smith has joined us. Let's head to the lines. 9429 1116. What's on your mind in sport? You can always set the sporting agenda. Peter's from Frankston. G'day, Pete. You want to talk about Casbolt?
Yes, mate, I do. It's just a couple of things there. One, rap that someone like Rocker's down there. But a couple of things with this is that my nephew was actually down at Northern Bull Ants for a while there, and I remember he was telling me that, you know, they do the training and they spent more time with their stretching and their core strength and everything. He was really surprised with that. And then after training one night, he thought, I'll go outside. I'm playing at half-forward. I'll go outside and, you know, do a bit of extra work kicking for goal. As soon as he walked out and had one kick, one of the trainers came in and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm having a kick. He goes, no, mate. You follow the program. So come inside.
So, yes, the program says that you can't kick because we're worried you're going to have a soft tissue injury.
He might have had his seven kicks for the week.
He might have had his seven kicks. So, Pete, that would have been disappointing for that family member.
Because he ended up, not having a lot of shots at goal, but every time he did, as he said, he really just didn't have a routine.
That's bad. That's got to be bad coaching, Peter.
But it seems to be...
If you've got a centre-half forward who hasn't got a routine, surely part of the coaching is, well, we'll establish that with you now.
But you would think that, Pat, but these other things are have been given priority over those sorts of things. I mean, look at Casbolt. 2012, he made his debut for Carlton. It's 2015 now. Does anyone think he's improved one inch in that period of time? Now, for the very first time, we see, you know, a front page story or back page story that Sav Rocker has been appointed down at Carlton to try and help rescue Casbolt.
Mm.
What about the other four seasons?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's your point.
Got his core strong, and we've got him lifting weights. He's a very good swimmer, you know.
Your point's well made.
Can't kick. Yes. Gary's from Keilor. G'day, Gary.
Hi, g'day, KB. I love your show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, look, you're on the money there with Casbolt, and I can recall two players in the past who were fantastic marks but terrible kicks for goal, and one of them was St Kilda's Stuart Lowe. One of the best marks of all time, and he just sprayed the ball all the time. So what they did, they brought in Peter Hudson to show him how to kick. And what you might recall is that after he took him through a whole period there, Stuart Lowe, every time he took a mark, He went to the mark and he actually drew a line with his foot.
He did, yeah.
Yes,
and then he just followed a straight line. All of a sudden, he became one of the most reliable kicks at St Kilda.
Well, you only want him to be reliable. There's some people who have fantastic kicks. You know, like Matthew Lloyd was a great kick and Brian Taylor was a terrific kick. You know, Michael Roach at Richmond, you know, great kick. You may not get to that standard, Pat and Gary, but you want to go from being unreliable to at least reliable.
Would you say Nick Riewoldt is a much improved kick?
He has improved his kicking. He has improved it immensely.
Yep. Can be done.
It can be done. He went through a lot of changes with his run-up and his style, and it seems to me now, I haven't seen him play live this year, that over the last couple of seasons, he's worked out that he wants to kick the ball as if he's just got the ball in the middle of the ground, and he takes his three or four steps, and he's relaxed, and he kicks the ball. And to me, you know, he made his run-up shorter. He used to have a long run-up. But he's found something, Pat, that makes him feel comfortable.
Mm.
That's what they've got to do with...
Well, he wouldn't have done that without practice, Kevin.
Well, it's taken a long time, though, Pat. There was a long time, maybe too many years, before maybe the penny dropped that this was more important than maybe some of the other stuff he was doing.
Yeah.
Paul's in Rosanna. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Kevin. It's Paul Felton. How are you, mate?
Oh, g'day, Paul. How are you going?
Yeah, good. I was listening to... discussion about skills this morning, as you well know from previous discussions, I researched skill acquisition for a PhD thesis for about 15 years now, and there's a principle the coaches need to understand, and once they do, they can improve skills in players in a week.
1 week?
One week, because it's such a dramatic turnaround. It's not in their skills. You won't, as in their physical skills, because you can work on someone's physical skills for a year and you might get marginal increase. I'm talking about maybe 10%.
Yep.
But if you change their psychology, the way they think about their skills, it becomes an automatic response. For argument's sake, I'll give you an example. If you put these players who can't kick for goal and you put them in the middle of the ground and they've just taken a mark, and they had to deliver a pass to a guy downfield who was leading, they'd probably not miss the pass by as much as they miss goal.
No, correct.
That's a psychological thing. You can change that in a week, and you'll see someone improve.
Well, we do see that, don't we, where we see people who are terrific kicks around the ground. And actually, you're quite right there, Paul. You see someone take a mark and they go back and then someone's 30, 40 metres away and they just go bang and they virtually just pop it out in front, you know, perfectly on their chest. And the same player, when he's having a shot for goal, is all over the shop. So maybe it's in the head.
And I've discovered a process which will result in fairly immediate improvement. But the problem is that the strengths of the AFL and the coaches and all that is their weakness. If you went to a business owner and you said, look, I've got something here that can improve your bottom line by 15%, he wouldn't be a leader of the business if he didn't listen to you. But you go to a football coach who's worried about losing his job in the first place, and you say, listen, I might know something you don't. They go, oh, cross the fingers, hex, I don't want to talk to you.
Mm.
That's the weakness.
That's the weakness. Paul, really appreciate your call. Paul, of course, premiership player with North Melbourne, also coached Brisbane as well. And how many games you coached Brisbane, Paul? Was it five or six?
No, seven.
Seven, and how many did you win?
Five.
Five, and got reappointed the next year?
I was going to be, but then all that...
Got sacked.
Mucking around, you got sacked. So, you know, you got to play the game, Kev. You don't have to in your position, but if you want to get involved, mate, you got to go to the opening of every door and every bottle, and it's just not my way.
Paul, really appreciate your call. Some interesting points there, Pat.
Yes, yes. I'm sure that's right, too, that thinking plays a big part in it, but it's still critical that you get the
execution
right. Yeah, mm.
But if you can,
you can't think a goal. You've got to be able to kick it.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Fro. Joins us in Broadmeadows. G'day, Fro.
How you going, KB? First time, long time.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, look, you know, I played football for many, you know, a few years, and I have had to stop due to ankle injury and things like that. But just going through, you know, two and a half hour sessions roughly a week we used to call. That's right through juniors up until the couple of years I played in seniors. And having a look at the skills of some of the teams in the AFL at the moment, atrocious. How can they get away with only a 90-minute, you know, skills training session a week? If you have a look at it, I mean, no matter what, whether you're a kid first starting in the AFL to a senior player that's been playing 6, 7, 8 years, you're always learning new things about the game, the skills, game plan, you know, all that sort of stuff. I mean, we keep going like this, you're going to see a game where everyone can run, but no one can kick a footy.
Well, maybe just on that, Fro and Pat, you know, we often hear where some of the recruiters now say it's very important that we recruit someone who's a good kick, you know, naturally
that's
a good
right,
kick.
Yep.
Well, maybe that's because, Pat, they won't get much time to improve their kicking once they get down to the AFL club. So we better get someone who's just naturally really good and talented now, who's a good kick, because that's one area we don't have to worry about because we've got no time for that.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to get those Pilates right. You've got to get that core strength.
So, but, Kevin, it's changing in all sports. I mean, as a fast bowler, I used to go down and you could bowl for 3 hours.
Yep.
Not that I did, but some did. I bowled a couple of balls and left. but, you know, fast bowlers now, at test and shield level, I said, well, you've got 15 balls for this session. I find that crazy, but that's how sports changed.
And look at all the fast bowlers who are breaking down. I've spoken to Sean Graff about this, and he's not quite certain they've gone down the right track with that, because, you know, bowling was what got you strong and got your muscles for bowling and all those sorts of things. That's what toughens you up. Sean Graff's not quite certain about going down this track where you can only bowl, you know, 15 balls in the nets, because, let's face it, Pat, in recent times, our fast bowlers been going down like nine pins.
And they've been so carefully looked after. It was Frank Tyson, Kevin, just said there's only one way to get fast bowling fit, and that's to bowl and bowl and bowl.
A lot of people like to tell you that it's rocket science, Pat. That's the problem. We'll take a break. We're coming back with your call. 22 minutes to 10. Frank Panisi will join us. Also, don't forget the man from Sacramento, Dr. Turf, in the studio. Always antagonistic, and you can bet he'll be very, very quirky today. Taking your calls along with Patrick Smith, and Pat's famous gibberish of the week is coming up, so you may have some early nominations as well. Johnny joins us from St. Albans. G'day, John.
Yeah, g'day, KB and Patrick. How are we?
Going
excellent.
Great.
Yep.
That's the way. Look, this is a bit of a lighter note, but I've been watching Fremantle lately, and in awe, like everyone else, is how good they're playing. But one thing that's really drives me crazy is Michael Barlow's jumper. I don't know if you guys have picked up on it, but it looks like it's about two sizes too small, and you can see his whole belly almost. It looks like a surf lifesaving outfit. Have you guys noticed that?
Look, I've said to his wife time and time again, don't put it in the dryer.
Look, I did see him on the weekend. I think he was pulling it down or trying. It was skin tight, no doubt about that. Johnny, that's probably a nice tactic to have him as tight as you possibly can. Very hard to grab. Maybe that's something that we've got to look at with. Maybe that's what they're doing at Fremantle. Maybe they're wearing a jumper that's two sizes too small on all their players. Johnny's picked up on this.
Do you read too much into things that sometimes...
Johnny, you've picked up on this. This is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting. I'm a Geelong supporter, and we couldn't even hang on to one tackle.
See, Nathan Fife, I don't think, even had a jumper on
no,
when
he
broke
didn't.
Those four tackles.
No, that's right.
No one could grab his jumper. He didn't have one on, Pat.
No, you've broken this story wide open, Kevin.
In fact, if you look closely at Nathan Fife, I reckon his jumper was painted on.
It was, Kevin.
Is that allowable? Can you paint on a jumper?
Oh, well, you would have fixed it if you're on the rules committee. You would have jumped all
over
this.
You never have got away with it, Ben. Thanks, Johnny. Dennis is in Oakley. Wants to talk about the Hawks. G'day, Dennis.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you?
Good.
Andy Newbold gave a speech before the Geelong Hawthorn game. In the speech, he made a point that it should be the AFL's ambition that the AFL should be a place of greater safety and the first choice for professional sport for all young men, aspiring young men, that mums and dads can actually feel that their sons will be safe there. Mm. he's actually picking up on a point that Pat made right at the beginning of the Essendon saga, that Essendon really, before integrity, this was a health issue. He's right, Newbold, in what he said. But the problem is, he then went on to endorse the AFL by saying how well Gil McLachlan had behaved. During the saga, it's the AFL which are the problem here. It's the AFL who sat on their hands during Essendon, who dragged their feet on concussions, and who introduced a three strikes policy. That's what the parents and grandparents fear. It's the AFL that has to reform. Do you boys see it that way or not?
Well, no, I think that your argument has some weight. I think the AFL is absolutely aware of that and working very hard on those things now. I don't think it always did. I think it's aware that the three strikes policy was just bunkum from the start and will change that. It's realised too late that it didn't work hard enough on concussion and it's trying to fix that. I think the responsibility is with the AFL. Dennis, I will give them the credit that they are attempting rather aggressively now to make up for lost time.
Dennis, thanks for that. Let's go to Lee. Joins us from Cheltenham. Wants to talk about skills in footy. G'day, Lee.
Yeah, g'day, KB. I just want your opinion on one, Travis Cloak. I think he needs to improve on his kicking, although he's had however long he's been in the system, he's now 27, 28 years old, and he still can't kick. Like, the Collingwood supporters and, the footy in general, footy people in general just have no, they have no...
Faith
in his kicking at all. Just want your opinion on that. And also, I can't see why Carlton and Mick Malthouse are copping all this pressure from the footy media and the public about how they're going, yet Buckley and Collingwood, I haven't heard one thing about them at all last night on all the footy shows and last year and all that sort of stuff. I haven't heard any sort of pressure put on them at all, even though they were a premiership side in 2010.
I'll jump in there, Lee. I reckon Collingwood were clearly outplayed on the weekend, but I think the consensus was that it wasn't for lack of absolute maximum input from the players. I don't know that people are making that comment. And in fact, Mark Murphy, the captain, cannot say that about the Carlton performance. I think there's obviously a lack of talent, but there was also a lack of aggression, intensity about the Carlton performance. I think that's the difference between those two clubs.
I think also, I think Pat and Lee, that Nathan Buckley has the full support of his board and he's not out of contract.
Yes.
And so there is, irrespective of how Collingwood is going, if Eddie and the board support Nathan, then there's no story there. At Carlton at the moment, what we've got is a coach who clearly would like to know his future. He believes it will upset his players and is not good for the Carlton Football Club. And we've got a board at this stage that's not willing to endorse their coach, even though he's a famous coach, beyond this year.
That will change.
So there is a difference there, Pat.
Yes, there is. Of course there is. But that will change too if Collingwood don't win. I mean,
but only if the lack of support comes from the board and Eddie.
Yes, but if the support, the big support base starts drumming up and announcing its discontent with what's happening at Collingwood, then the pressure comes on the board to reconsider.
But it's not there at
it's
the
not
moment.
There now. No, definitely.
It's not there at the moment.
Yep.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls, plus Patrick's famous gibberish of the week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. Just shut
your mouth. Patrick's famous gibberish of the week, of course, named after Tora Brighton. You can always agree or disagree with Pat's nominations. Got off Twitter, got any nominations this week,
well,
Pat?
Look, Kevin, I just want to emphasise that this is the biggest gibberish of the week award in Australia.
Yes.
In fact, it's the only one.
Yes, that is true.
So it's very... A lot of people want to get into it. But I just want to tell you, it's a pretty high standard we set here. And here's just a reminder of last week's winner.
The Run Home with David Schwartz and Mark Allen.
It's been a long time to wait, but the footy's finally back. Marco and I are off to the US Masters for the next fortnight, but join Daniel Harford and Cam Mooney from Four as Dermot Brereton will be in the studio to dissect all the round one action. Have a safe and enjoyable Easter period. We'll catch you on the 20th of April.
Mate, Kevin, that's a couple of professionals.
Ineligible because they should never have been awarded Gibberish the Week because they work at SEN. And we're all ineligible, Pat.
No, that's not right, Kevin. Poor old Greg got it. But that was two professionals at their best,
yes.
At their peak.
Footy's back, fantastic, but we won't be here.
Yeah.
We're off.
It was brilliant. Now, Kevin, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yes.
It's the nature of our station, isn't it?
I mean, correct.
We encourage opinion, talk back, debate, and sometimes we get it wrong. Just like this.
Suns. Sting in the tail, Rockets, said all the things that'll make them have that sting.
Won't win a game for the year, the Saints.
Oh, come back to that next week.
That was David King. I'm not blaming David.
That's the winner.
It's not criticism of David King, because we all go out there and make big statements.
Won't win a game for the year, the Saints.
But, so it's not an entry. That's just what happens when you're in the opinion business. But when your opinion is formed by incorrect information and faulty facts, then you're guilty of gibberish, as Tim Watson is here.
I think it was really just the idea of the article was another way that he could have a crack at Jane. So it is becoming boring, Patrick. Just give it away. You've been banging on for 2.5 years about how James Hurd shouldn't be the coach. You got it wrong once in the paper. You went too early. Don't make him pay for that mistake. Just move on. Get on and write about something else.
It is, you know what?
It's boring. It's bordering on bullying. Give it away, mate.
Now, that was Tim Watson having a little rant. Now, Tim has some sort of agenda against me, Kevin. It's pretty obvious. He's been banging away at me for 5 years. But that outburst from Tim was not based on accurate information. I hope that wasn't deliberate, but it wasn't. It was incorrect facts. I've never said Hurd was sacked. Another organisation did that. I have said Hurd should step down, was facing the sack, was about to be sacked, all of which was correct and underlined to be right. When James Hurd himself, at the press conference, if you remember, Kevin, after the tribunal findings, said he was mighty close to being sacked last year. In fact, he was asked to stand down. So that just corroborates everything I've said. So there was nothing wrong. Tim's just got the whole thing absolutely on its head. So Tim, some advice. Give it up. It's boring. You've been banging away on it for 5 years. Tim, it's bordering on bullying.
Patrick, I've just looked up the rules for Gibberish of the Week, and it's definitely got...
Kevin.
Page 37, A4, no member of SEN is eligible for Gibberish of the Week.
No, these are my rules, Kevin.
And so Greg Denham...
If Tim wants to carry on that agenda...
And Ox and Marco...
And that crap, then he will always be in. All right?
Okay.
It's very mean-spirited drivel. Beautiful.
That gibberator.
Well, the gibberator's got to go off.
Well, Greg Denham's not very happy, as you know, and neither is Ox and Marco.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be able to help them. They're going to take out the award, sure.
Patrick's Gibberish of the Week. Do you agree or disagree? Just on Lee, our previous call before we went to the break, he asked about Travis Cloak. Travis Cloak kicking, I think, has improved, but he falls in the category, I reckon, that Paul Feltham was talking about to us early in the program. And that is, when he gets the ball in the middle of the ground, if he sees someone at centre-half forward, he can kick the ball beautifully to that person. Absolutely beautiful kick. But it's when he's in front of goal. But I do think he has improved marginally over the years. Just with his ball drop, doesn't seem to be as high to me, or he lets the ball go as early. But
you wouldn't put money on him, though,
but
Kevin.
But still, he's in that category where there's still a lot of improvement because obviously Collingwood fans still don't actually feel confident when he's 25 to 30 metres out directly in front. We'll take a break. We're coming back and we'll fly through the rest of our callers. Coming up to 10 o'clock, and also a lot of callers have been talking about Pete Hudson turning around Stewie Lowe's goal king. So I'll have a chat to the great Hawk after 10 o'clock as well. Frank Panisha will join us from the Storm, and the man from Sacramento, get something off your chest. Dr. Turf will be very, very quirky today. John's on the road. G'day, John. G'day, John. I can hear John there. John?
Speak up.
Okay, we'll come back to John out there on the road. Let's go to John in Geelong. Wants to talk about Gary Ablett. G'day, John.
Oh, look, boys, Chris Scott, the only message he's got to send out this week is, boys, get on your phone and text Gazza, come back.
Well, I reckon they should be doing that, Geelong, and I'd be surprised if they weren't making some inquiries to Gary Ablett, because this contract he's been signing, Pat, we hear just recently, and John, there was, you know, there's a bit of a hiccup there. He hasn't signed on yet. People thought he was going to sign on before Christmas. And now if they start to lose the Suns, and maybe they don't make the strides that they hope to make this year, Gary's got the shoulder, you know, it could be a bit of a tough year. It might be a very good time for Gary Ablett to say, you know what, I've done everything I can for the Suns. I'll go back home.
They need to be talking to him anyway, don't they?
I would think so. Yeah. You'd like to see him back, John?
Oh, I'd love it. I reckon on Saturday night, he'd be down in Geelong on Saturday night. Maybe the boys should take him out and spike one of his drinks and have a contract in their pocket or something, get him to sign it while he doesn't know what he's doing.
Just kidnap him and hide him till next season.
Well, I would think that there's a chance. The Cats don't want to slide down the ladder. They don't want to...
They don't want to be in decline, Kevin.
They don't want to be in decline. They don't want to rebuild. That's why there's been talk about Dangerfield going there. You're suggesting that maybe the AFL could help Dangerfield get to the Gold Coast Suns.
Yes.
If, in fact, Gary went back to Geelong. He's only 30, Gary, at the moment. He turned 31 in probably a month or a couple of months' time. But I don't think anyone over the last 2 or 3 years think that Gary's, you know, dropping off the pace a bit. We see him at the moment. He's injured at the moment with his crook arm. But he'd be, fantastic fillip for the Cats if they could get him back.
There was some medical advice saying that he won't get full use of the shoulder back for another 3 months. No wonder he's struggling a bit when he's on the field.
Mm. Well, that might even help the Cats,
yep.
Pat, if that's the case. A lot of SMSs are just saying, has David King been on this week to eat his words? No, I don't know about that, but he will be on with Daniel Harford or maybe Tony Shebeki this week.
Oh, I think he's been reminded of it, Kevin.
With Pure Footy.
Yep.
G'day, KB. I'm a beginner. Power lifter. Power lifting is comprised of three lifts: the squat, the deadlift, and the bench press. Guess what exercises you do to improve these lifts? The squat, the deadlift, and the bench press. No Pilates.
No.
No swimming.
No.
No yoga.
No rowing.
No rowing. Rowing's definitely out. Pat, we'll speak soon.
Cheers, Kevin.